Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
We always do try to uplift ourselves, in January at least, and lots of us are trying to make changes for our health and well-being. But how many of the avenues to improved health and well-being stand up to actual scientific scrutiny? I'm joined now by Dr. Paula Byrne, who's the lead researcher for iHealthFacts.ie. That's a project at the University of Galway, which allows people, really importantly, to check online the evidence for all of those health claims. Paula, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Listen, let's jump straight away into some of the claims that you have investigated. So the first one, and this is a big one, I remember getting dosed with cod liver oil and everything when we were younger. Omega-3 or omega-6 fatty acids, either as supplements or through your diet. The big question, does it improve brain health or cognitive function?
Yeah. So if I could take a little bit of a step back and kind of talk about how we know whether things work or don't work. So generally, we hear all these claims all the time. A study has found this, a study has found that. But it kind of matters what kind of study it was. So if you need to know if something works, you need to do what's called a randomized controlled trial. And that means you take two groups of people who are as identical as you can possibly get them, you know, so same age group, same sex, same general health status, and you give the intervention, whatever it is, in this case it's omega, to one of them, and you don't give it to the other. And then you have a reasonably good idea at the end of the trial whether or not the omega works or whatever it is that you're measuring. So it's really important that we look for randomized trials. And then what we do is we kind of research the research in iHealthFacts. We bring together all the studies that have been done and ideally in a systematic way called a systematic review. So when we were asked whether omega improved cognitive health, we were looking at omega-3 and omega-6. We found four what are called systematic reviews of this topic. So it was actually quite surprising to us that it didn't really seem to stand up to the evidence. So, for example, the first systematic review we found looked at people who had dementia, and there didn't seem to be evidence that it improved their dementia. The second one we looked at people over the age of 60 who didn't have dementia and didn't seem to find any benefit. Similarly, another group, another systematic review didn't find much benefit. And then one that looked at people over their whole lifespan didn't find much benefit, except possibly in infants where it might help cognitive development.
Yeah, so there can be a big difference between our perception of things and the reality. Sea swimmers such as myself are fanatical about it and will tell everybody that it really improves your health, your mental health and your immune system. For those of us who are going in this freezing weather, please tell me that it does. Or does it?
I was a little bit starstruck out there in the green room meeting Mairéad Ní Mhaoin, one of my big heroes. And I was up in Donegal last March and we got in for a swim. And I can tell you, you knew you were close to the North Pole. So this is an interesting review that we did because we kind of knew where the question was coming from. The question was, did it cause harm? And there had been a huge media report about this particular case, and it transpired it was one person. She was an established sea swimmer and she developed this thing called swimming induced pulmonary oedema. She recovered from it, but this caused a huge scare. So we looked for the evidence around sea swimming, and we found 10 studies that suggested positive health outcomes in terms of immunity, mood regulation, pain tolerance and regulation of stress hormones. But if I go back to what I had said to you in the beginning, which is that you really need randomized trials to over a period of time to see what the effect is. So these were studies that were looking at, say, blood samples before and after somebody swam or measuring stress hormones and that kind of thing. But as a fan of sea swimming, I'm kind of choosing to believe that, as far as we can see.
Subject to further systemic reviews.
Exactly.
We can bore people a little bit longer. This is a big one.
Yeah.
And especially women of a certain age, it seems that magnesium supplements, you know, there's been such an awareness around it. Does it make a difference to sleep?
Yeah. And again, looking at, like, there's trends in all of these things, you know, aren't there? You know, there's trends in magnesium and different kind of supplements and all of that kind of thing. So again, going back to what we're talking about, randomized trials. So we found three systematic reviews of trials. Very mixed findings here. So the first systematic review found that magnesium improved sleep onset and insomnia. The second review, which had some randomized trials and some what are called observational studies, so you're just looking at people over time, they had mixed findings that perhaps sleep was improved by taking magnesium. But the third systematic review we found no benefit.
So the jury's at all. A little bit out.
But you see, we always, particularly when, you know, we need big trials of any intervention over a long period of time to actually figure out if they're working. So very often we come up with, we're not really sure.
Yeah, because like, I mean, and when you look at kind of like the explosion in health influencers and all of this thing, and there's lots of debates over that, and this is good for you, or that's not good for you. One of the big ones, and especially might be in people's minds for January if they're joining a gym, this notion that protein after a workout helps you build muscle, and there's lots of protein shakes and drinks and other supplemental products. Does it?
So again, going back to trends, and I came across a new term. I hadn't actually met this term before, called bro science. So that's all these buff men influencers that are out there telling us to take
and
protein.
And often selling those products.
Possibly. And you always have to be aware of that. So protein is the main building block for muscle. Muscle is constantly building up and breaking down, as is bone. Yeah. So, and particularly as we age, we need to kind of keep our muscle tone up. So there actually was some evidence here that protein supplements seemed to improve different kinds, and the studies measure different things: muscle mass, strength, hand grip, blah blah, all different kinds, lean body mass. So the studies were quite different in what they measured in terms of the outcome that was of interest. And there was mixed findings. Like, one study found that the magnitude of the effect was greatest in people who are untrained or in the elderly, whereas another study found that there didn't seem to be consistent evidence in terms of elderly people taking protein. You know, so, and it's something I go to the gym under duress and I try to, well, I eat my peanut butter, that's about it, but I don't know, I'm not really, sure.
Can I ask you, last week we did an item on sleep tech and all of these advances in sleep technology, and I wanted to ask you, have you done research on smartphones before bed or the blue lights that we are or are not meant to be looking at?
So again, in this case, we often come up with what's called a biologically plausible mechanism. So, well, that makes sense scientifically. It doesn't always follow true that an intervention around that effect actually works. But blue light limits the production of melatonin, which is the hormone that controls your sleep-wake cycle. Now, we didn't find my famous randomized controlled trials on this. So we were looking at people over time and these what are called observational studies. There was a kind of consistent finding that excessive use of digital screens is associated with worse and shorter sleep. But you have to say, when you're not randomizing into two groups of people, there could be something else going on. So if I just look at one group of people, it could be something else they're doing that is causing that. But there did seem to be a hint that screen time before bed is
and
not good for you.
Finally, just the blue lights, are they good or bad for us?
The absolute jury is out on that. We looked at one called blue light blocking glasses,
which have become a big trend.
Again, a big trend. And blue light is part of this light spectrum, blah, blah, blah. We get it from LEDs, TVs, computers. We get natural blue light as well from sunlight. So there were very, very low quality studies on this topic. And really, the studies found that blue light blocking glasses don't have an effect, but because the quality of the studies were so low, we couldn't really be sure of that.
It just goes to show, I suppose, just how important it is to have that big randomised, systemic evidence-based for it. Yeah. I have so many questions, but unfortunately, Dr. Paula Byrne, lead researcher for iHealthFactStudy, I have no more time, but thank you so, so much for coming in this morning. And if anybody does want to find out more about what we discussed this morning and many other health questions, you can head over to iHealthFactStudy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Paula Byrne, we'll take a quick break.